Hebrews chapter number 11. We kind of got into verse number 5 a little bit last week, and we're going to pick right back up with verse number 5 this week, and we'll be focusing mostly on verse number 6 as we get into the meat of the lesson tonight. But in verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter number 11, again, we know this is the hall of faith or the faith chapter, whatever you want to call Hebrews chapter number 11, but it is recognizing some heroes of the faith, mostly throughout the Old Testament. And again, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, Danny, we did ask you to think about some modern-day heroes of the faith and may have an opportunity to share that again one Wednesday night if you want to continue to think in that direction. But in verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch. Now, we studied Enoch just a little bit last week over in Genesis chapter number 5, and we know that Enoch was translated. In other words, he never died. He was kind of like Elijah. He was taken up into heaven, and Enoch was translated. In verse number 5, it says, and Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then if you remember over in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24, the one thing that I kind of wanted to point out last week, and again, I just want to reiterate it for just a second tonight, that we see that Enoch made the hall of faith. And I believe that the main reason that Enoch made the hall of faith here in Hebrews chapter number 11 is in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24. The beginning of that verse says, and Enoch walked with God. You know, when you read this, it's kind of an awesome thought to think about Enoch being translated or Enoch just being taken up. That one day Enoch just disappeared. They went to look for Enoch and he wasn't there. It kind of reminds me, yeah, I didn't watch a whole lot of Star Trek when I was little, but that old beam me up, Scotty, and all of a sudden these guys would just boom, vanish. They were gone. And that's kind of the way that it was with Enoch here. It's that one day Enoch was there, the next day they didn't find him because Enoch had been translated. He had been taken up into heaven. And again, I believe that more so than Enoch being translated, that Enoch made Hebrews chapter number 11 the hall of faith because Enoch walked with God. And if we want to be heroes of faith, or we want to be known for our faith, we want to be known for taking a stand for God and taking a stand for our faith, I think the most important thing that we can do is not that you walk around all the time that you're Mr. or Mrs. Holy, or that you're holier than thou, that you always got your Bible tucked up under your arm. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of all is to walk with God and to let others see your faith. So then as we continue on into Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, let's look at what it says right here in the beginning of this verse. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So let's dig a little deeper into that. Ephesians chapter number 2. I think I forgot to tell you this, Shannon. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's look in verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So that kind of makes it make sense that in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, because it is absolutely 100% by faith that you enter a relationship in with Jesus Christ. Let's read this again. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. For by grace... For by grace, in other words, it's not because of anything else that you've done, but it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Without that faith, it is impossible to become in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So there again, makes perfect sense that it would be impossible for you to please him without faith. But I believe that there is more faith. I believe that there is more to it than just that saving faith that we are reading about here in verse number 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse number 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in verse number 8 and verse number 9 of Ephesians chapter number 2, we see that it is through faith, by his grace, that we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, it says right there, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as you read Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9, it would almost seem that faith and works are opposite. It would almost seem that here in Ephesians chapter number 2, that they're saying, well, if this is faith and this is works, because you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, that it almost looks like that the writer is saying that works and faith are kind of contradictory. But I want to go in a little deeper tonight and see that faith and works complement each other instead of being contradictory to one another. So as we look at this scripture tonight, it almost would seem kind of weird that as we're looking at Hebrews chapter number 11 and we're reading about faith, that all of a sudden we're going to start talking about works. Now, let's stop and just get this clear first thing. I don't want anybody getting confused on this, that salvation has absolutely nothing to do with your works. Absolutely nothing. If you could do enough good works to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ or do enough good works in order to make it to heaven, then Jesus dying on the cross was unnecessary and cruel for God to let him to go through that. But you can't. And the Bible even teaches us that our righteousness is filthy rags. In other words, the best that we could ever do would never be any good anyway. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's it. There's that saving faith that we're talking about. But as we look at this and we see how faith and works complement each other, I think we got to turn over to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. If we look at James chapter number 2, and we're going to start reading somewhere, let me find my verses here. James chapter number 2, verse number 14. Let me kind of give us a little introductory to this here. And as we're talking about faith and as we're talking about works, we've done established the fact that me being saved has absolutely nothing to do with my works. It has all to do with my faith in the grace of God, that Jesus was willing to come and give his life for me. But once that saving faith is established, I believe that there is another faith, a professing faith, if you will, that should enter into our lives. There is the saving faith that we're saying, okay, God, I know that there's nothing that I can do to deserve salvation. There is nothing that I can do that could take away the punishment of hell in my life. It is all through and by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. There's that saving faith. But now once we're saved, I believe that there is a professing faith that should be absolutely, you should be able to see it in our lives day in and day out. So James chapter number 2, begin reading with verse number 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" In other words, somebody has need and you're able to meet that need and you don't do it, then what good is that? Verse number 17, look at this. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." It doesn't do me a lot of good, and more so the people around me, for me to say that I possess all of this faith in God, and I know that God's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and God can deliver me from anything, and God's the best friend I've ever had, and all my troubles, that God's going to carry my troubles, that he's my burden bearer, and man, I'm trusting in God, and man, I'm living right there where I'm supposed to be. I'm Enoch. I'm walking with God. It doesn't do me that much good if I have that kind of faith and I keep it all inside to myself. And see, that's what James is saying here in James chapter number 2. He's saying, what good is it if you have all of that faith? Even so, if faith hath not works, is dead, being alone. See, it's kind of like the other day I was with my dad. My dad still has the Moses 3000 telephone. He's got one of them old flip phones, you know, that you flip open. I don't know. We were getting up pay one day. It's been two summers ago. We were getting up pay, and like I said, daddy carries that little old flip phone, and I don't know what good it's even. I don't even know what good a flip phone is anymore. Some of y'all probably still have them, but that's okay. We'll let you buy with it. So we were getting up hay, and Daddy was up on the hay trailer, and I was throwing him some bales of hay, and he went, "Oh, no, I've lost my phone." Well, we cut the tractor off, and, man, we was out there, and we was searching the field all over looking for his telephone. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "You still got that flip phone, don't you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Get back on the trailer. It ain't even worth looking for. Let's get his hay up." So we ended up finding the phone. But so Daddy's got this Moses 3000 phone, and we were riding the other day, and we were wanting to know where something was. He didn't have a clue how to get to where we needed to go. And I said, "Daddy, you still carrying that stupid flip phone?" He said, "Yeah, I'm still carrying that flip phone." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I've got a phone in my pocket that I can pull it up, I can hit this little maps thing, and I can punch in just about anywhere in this world, and it will tell me how to get there. Turn for turn, I mean, Now, don't get me wrong. Siri has took me to some dead ends before. It has happened. I've been there and done that. But for the most part, I mean, we went to Miami for a week, and Siri took me everywhere I wanted to go, and some places I didn't. So Siri's been good to me. And I said, look, in my phone, I can put up any address that I want to, and it'll tell me turn for turn how to get there. And he said, really? I said, yeah. Good. That's good. But you know what? I wouldn't get my phone out, punch it in to take us where we needed to go. And you say, well, that sounds pretty dumb. Why would you even tell somebody that you got a phone that can take you somewhere turn for turn if you're not going to get it out and use it? Is that not what we do with our faith? We tell people that we serve a great big God that can do absolutely, that's a lie story, by the way. It's just an illustration. Me and Daddy wouldn't even know we're together that day. But as we go from day in and day out, look, this thing has so much information. This little phone, I mean, it's crazy what all is in this little phone. There's all kinds of good stuff. There's all kinds of bad stuff, and it's all according to how you want to use it. You need a little self-control with that. I do, too. So it's amazing what all's in here. It's amazing what all it can do, but it does us absolutely no good if we leave it laying over there. It does us absolutely no good if we don't plug it in from time to time and let it power up. And you know what? That's the way our faith is. We can talk about how good our God is and how good that he can carry us and how good that he can be to us. And man, but if we don't ever plug into it and we never get it out and use it, then all of that faith is pretty much dead. All of that faith is useless. All of that faith that we have is just sitting around not benefiting anybody when somebody right next to you might need to know about that great big good God that you serve. But just like I wouldn't let Daddy use it to get directions, a lot of times we keep our Jesus and we keep our faith put up in our pocket and don't get it out and use it. What's wrong with me? Anyway, so here James says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Listen to this. Show me thy faith without thy works. That's tough to do. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now listen, once again, we can tell people how good our God is and how much we love God, and our works, this is where that professing works comes in. This is not talking about the saving faith. This is that professing faith. Our works will either completely complement what we say or it will completely contradict what we just said. You can say, I've got all this faith in the world. Then your works is either going to prove or disprove that. One or the other. The way that you live your life daily is either going to prove or disprove that. If you want to tell me how good somebody, somewhere in town is to eat, and you want to say, man, this is the best place in the world to eat, but I never, ever see you eating there, and I never, ever see you go there, and I never, ever hear you talk about it, I'm probably going to think you're just full of mud. And you know what? It's amazing. I heard somebody just the other day, they were talking to somebody, and they said, I want you to look for somebody at church. He said, I have invited and invited and invited these people, and I know what's going to happen. The one Sunday that I'm not there, they're going to show up, and they're going to think I really don't come to church there, so I want you to find them. But you know what? There's a lot of people that want to talk about how good their God is, and then when a little something comes up in their life, they fall all apart. Or they want to talk about how good it is to love God. They want to talk about how God delivered them from their sin, how God saved them from a devil's hell. And let's just be real blunt with this. Something goes wrong in their day-to-day life, and all of a sudden, what you hear coming out of them ain't faith at all. So those works are really important. People will say, well, your works really don't matter. You shouldn't even have to talk about works and faith. But here, James talks about faith and works together. No, my saving faith had absolutely nothing to do with my works. The only thing I had to do in order to be saved is to react to Jesus Christ speaking to my heart and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. That's all I had to do. The rest of it is what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. But from that time forward, yes, my professing works will either complement or contradict my faith. Verse number 18, yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, thy faith without works is dead. I think tonight as we look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, if you notice in all of these instances that we're going to talk about, there was some works that went along with the way that the writer looks at their faith. He didn't just tell us about their faith. He told us and showed us examples of their works proving that faith. He told us of, as we talked about Moses one night. We talked about Cain and Abel last week. We're going to continue talking about some others. So I want to ask you this. When people look at you, do they just say, well, there's a man of faith. There's a woman of faith. Or do they look and say, if you watch them just a little while, you'll see their faith. You'll see their works prove their faith. It'll complement their faith. There's so many times and so many situations, I'm sure y'all hear it too. You go to witness to somebody, and the only thing that they want to talk about is somebody else that failed miserably as a Christian. That's what they want to talk about. I run into it. Y'all run into it. Hey, let's just be honest. If they caught us in the right moment at some time in our Christian life, they could probably point their finger at us and say the very same thing, because I've been there before. Thankfully, when I do those, listen, when I pray this a whole lot, I say, God, I know I'm going to fail, I know I'm going to come short, but how about letting me do it out there in the woods somewhere where nobody knows about it but me and you, because I don't want to be a hindrance to somebody else. But so many times people, they want to point back to somebody's works. So you know what? I know as far as my salvation that Jesus did all of the work on Calvary, but my professing faith, my works day in and day out, they are absolutely important. They are it absolutely makes a difference. Well, preacher, I'm going to go to heaven either way. Yeah, if you know Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you something. Listen, this might be a little bit of Josh doctrine right here, so I'll put that disclaimer out there. But if you can sit here tonight and say, well, God saved me, he forgave me of my sin, he allowed me to escape the devil's hell, but I can just live in any way and do anything I want to, you better check your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there should be something on the inside of you pulling you to that good work. There should be something on the inside of you that's trying to help you in that good work. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll finish up here in just a minute. Listen to this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen to this, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's work. Diligently seeking God in your life is work. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I hope tonight, and as I look around the congregation, I don't know anybody's heart. I know your testimonies. I know that for you to be here on a Wednesday night is a good indicator to me that you know Jesus Christ, but I don't know your heart. But so at some point in time, if I had to say, I would say that all of you, or at least most of us, have experienced that professing faith. That saving faith, that we have experienced, that we come to terms one day that it's only by and through Jesus Christ that I can be saved. But what about our professing faith? What about our works? How do they line up? Sometimes I come up way short on that. If you're wanting to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, we have to pay attention. We have to take notice of our life, of our works. I'm not talking about salvation, but day in and day out, what is your life showing? Is it showing faith, or is it showing completely opposite? It can either complement or contradict. Only thing I know is I ask y'all to pray for me, that I go day in and day out, that my works will complement my faith and not contradict my faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know so many times I fall and come short. Yet, God, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And I want to thank you most of all that my salvation is not dependent on my works, that it is all by the finished work there at Calvary, and that you love me enough that you gave your life for me. But God, I pray that you'll help me to be have that professing faith. Help me to have that life that complements my faith, that shows other my faith, that shows them that I'm going to talk the talk, but I'm also going to walk the walk. And help me to be a light out here in a lost and a dying world, that others may come to know Jesus Christ and that you may get glory out of my life. God, I pray that you'll help us as a church family here to be strong. Help us to always to keep our eyes and our ears open, because we know that the devil wants to come in. But God, we know that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And God, I pray most of all for lost souls, that you'll send them to our church, that they'll see their need for a Savior, and they'll come to know you before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen.